Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. It's not always popular to be seen taking a stand, but when God comes in unusual power to a church, we often see courage and resolve that was not there before. Today, how the ancient church in Thessalonica took their stand, and how we can imitate them today as darkness settles over our land. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a six-part series on what happens when God comes to church. Listen now as we turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and learn how the church takes a stand.
So let me begin today with a question. What is it that you stand for? What are those core values for which you would be willing to die? Would it be possible for someone to wave big money in your face and as a result of that compromise your integrity? At what point could you be bought, or could you never be bought? What do you stand for? How much temptation are you willing to endure for the cause of your marriage and for the cause of your God? I say to the young people present, how much peer pressure can you put up with and not get into drugs and alcohol and those kinds of things? How strong is your stand? Well, as individuals, we have to stand, but also as a church. The church has to stand for something. And when you stand for something, you immediately stand against something else. Wilberforce in England in the late 1700s, and then again, he lived, of course, until the early 1800s. He stood with the slaves against slavery. He stood for something. And despite a hard time and being evil spoken against and amid great opposition, it was his efforts that eventually put an end to that social injustice. Churches need to stand. We stand for doctrine, we stand for social justice, we stand against the current of society, and we become greatly countercultural for what we do stand for. We stand for the unborn because we have a stand that is important to us. Now, what you find is that the church in Thessalonica, and you know that this is a series of messages that is titled When God Comes to Church. Because when God comes and begins to do a great work in the lives of people, there's a transformation of heart and there's a transformation of values. And that happened in the church at Thessalonica. Things changed because God was there. And the Apostle Paul was talking to the church because they were going through a time of persecution. In fact, he says, to this you were appointed. A hard time in the Christian life is appointed to you by God. If in your workplace, if in your relationships, you are going through a difficult time, that all is a part of the Christian life and the growing experience that all of us have as we walk with God. And Paul discovered that this church, even though vocationally they were being marginalized, they couldn't get the best jobs, even though they were being ridiculed for their faith, and even though measures were being taken against them, even including being thrown in jail, they stood. And Paul says, for that, I am deeply, deeply grateful. The key verse in today's message is actually found in the third chapter of 1 Thessalonians, where you can turn. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and it's in verse 8. If you're in the habit of underlining your Bibles, this would be a good verse to underline. It is very brief, and it is the heart and soul of what I'm speaking about today. Notice that Paul says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 8, for now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. Paul is saying, at last I can breathe again. At last I can relax and be joyful because I've heard that you are standing firm. The term is a military term. It means that you stand when arrows are being shot at you. It means that you stand when it's difficult. You stand in good weather, in bad weather. You stand when others stand with you, and you stand if you need to stand alone. But you stand. Paul says, now I can live. I heard that you are standing fast. And the Apostle Paul says that there's a possibility that they might not have. You'll notice in verse 5, he says, for this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. That's quite a warning. Paul says, I was so concerned about you because it's possible that the devil derailed you in your walk with God. The devil does three things regarding our faith. First of all, he wants to prevent our faith. The Bible says that he even blinds the minds of those who are listening. There are some of you who are listening today, and you may even hear the words, but it's not going to have an opportunity to sink deeply into your heart. And there's a battle going on. There's even a battle going on for you to concentrate on what I'm saying. And then Paul says that, or rather, Jesus said that the tempter not only blinds the minds, but sometimes he snatches faith right out of people's hearts. That's what it says. In the parable that Jesus said, the seed is sown, which is the word of God, and he says some of the seed falls on a hard road and the birds come and eat it. Later on, he explains that the birds are the devil that snatches the word of God out of people's minds. Some of you will struggle to remember what it is that I even spoke about because of the battle that's going on. And if the devil can't do that, then he discourages us. A long illness, friends that betray us, difficulties will erode our faith because that is what he's after. So Paul says, I was really concerned that maybe the devil got his way and it turns out that you really aren't following God. And so Paul was so glad that that was wrong. How does the Apostle Paul strengthen the church? What is his contribution to making this congregation strong enough to weather the storm? And the way in which Paul strengthens the church is the very same way in which you and I strengthen each other. If you send a child to college, you want that child to have backbone. You want that child to stand against the possibility of the debauchery that will be available to him or to her. You want that child to stand. What is your contribution? What is the child's contribution? How do we stand? And the reason it is difficult to stand is because the temptations come from within, the desires of the flesh and of the mind, as Paul says. And then, of course, peer pressure. At prayer meeting, we're praying for prodigals. And we're fasting and we're praying. We're serious about this business of prodigals. And if you ask the prodigals, why did you leave the faith and leave home? Almost always, I got in with the wrong crowd, they'll say. It's the power of influence. And so you have the struggle within, and you have the pressure without, and the temptation is that you fall away, not from the faith ultimately, but that you just live in vain because of the pressure. So how do we help people? Well, I hope that you're ready because we're going to give you Paul's strategy. And in the end, it'll transform your life, the life of your friends, and the life of the church if we take it seriously. Thanks for joining us on the journey. First of all, the Apostle Paul encouraged the church by sending Timothy. He begins in verse 1 by saying, when I could bear it no longer, he says, I just couldn't. I had to find out how you were doing. He says, I sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you. Paul couldn't go there himself because there was criticism of him. You remember he was run out of town, if you've been following this series of messages. And so he couldn't go back, and he was busy at Athens. And so he says, Timothy, I'm sending you. I want you to find out how the church is doing, but I want you to establish them so that they are strengthened to stand. And what is Timothy? First of all, he's a brother. He's a fellow Christian. Paul says he's a fellow servant. a fellow laborer, which shows you that he was really a team player. He was going to be there, not coming to lord it over this congregation, but to help this congregation. Paul elsewhere calls him a servant, a diakonos, which is really the word deacon. You know, you say, what should deacons be doing here at the church? What does a deacon do? Well, deacons do many different things, but one of the things that deacons should be doing is standing alongside of others to strengthen them, that they themselves will be strengthened in the process. That's part of the responsibility within the church of being a deacon. In fact, Timothy was so unusual, he was so young that Paul had to kind of defend his youth. And Paul says, I have nobody else, he says in Philippians, that is willing to care for you like Timothy, because everybody is seeking their own thing. They're all doing their own. But he says, Timothy will have your good in mind. So Paul says, I'm sending Timothy to help establish you. How do we stand? How does the young man, the soldier in the military, the Christian soldier, who goes into the military where he's surrounded by all these opportunities to waste his life morally and in other ways, how does he stand? The answer is with the help of others. Students, when you go off to college as a Christian student, the first thing you should do before you get your room organized is to find the Christian groups on campus and join them and become a part of Bible studies and a part of friendships. Because apart from that, I can predict with almost absolute certainty, you will not stand. Nobody stands alone. And that's why we need one another. And when it comes to churches, how do we stand? We help one another. I say to you today, my Christian friend, that if you are standing, stand alongside of someone else that you can help stand for the faith and be encouraged. Well, my friend, today I have to tell you that I cannot emphasize too much the fact that we cannot stand alone. Our desires are too strong. The temptations are too powerful. We have to stand together. And you know, speaking of standing together, let me tell you that Running to Win is not the program that belongs to the Moody Church or it belongs to me. It really belongs to the Christian community, and more importantly, it belongs to God. But we need you to stand with us. How about becoming an endurance partner? Endurance partners are those who give regularly, they pray for us, they become a part of the Moody Media family. Here's what you do. You go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com, and then click on Endurance Partners. And there you'll find all the information you need. Or if you want to connect with us by telephone, go to 1-800-215-5001. I'll give you that number again, 1-800-215-5001. My friend today, stand with us as we get the gospel around the world.
Today, Erwin Lutzer began a message on The Church Takes a Stand, the third in a series on what happens when God comes to church. Next time on Running to Win, the cost of taking a stand. When God Comes to Church can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.